I did forget one announcement. Next Sunday, after services, we'll have a quarterly meeting here at the church, and that'll take place immediately following our morning worship service. Also, Friday night, they had the play Pinocchio in town, and I don't know how many of you went there. Paige was in it, and I have to say this. You guys did a wonderful, wonderful job. It was very hilarious and very funny, and it entertained the audience very, very much. Congratulations for taking part in it, and we're proud of you for that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the mercy you have given us, all the grace you have given us. And Lord, help us as we work and live that we do it to you and you alone. I pray, O God, as we look at your word, that you will have our hearts and minds open and be secured in your word, that the word spoken will be from you. And Lord, may your spirit have first place in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 through 24. And let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. But to what shall I liken this generation? It is like the children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their companions and saying, we have played the flute for you and you have not sung. We have, you have not danced, and we have mourned for you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibbler, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they had not repented. And again, they had not repented. And once more, they had not repented. Remember the word repent. We don't hear that much, but it's a word in which means so much, and it means one in which we can have a righteous work and a righteous life with God if we repent of our sins. And these cities hadn't done that. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sidon and Tyre in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades or to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in you, which were done in you, had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in a truth. The word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. As we look in the Old Testament, and we've seen that the scripture reading was part of the Song of Moses, and I think and I recommend highly that you read that whole song and that you read it prayerfully and graciously. And I want you to notice that in verse 4, or he says, I proclaim in verse 3 the name of the Lord. ascribe greatness to our God. And then he goes on, he is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. We find God is righteousness and justice, and we remember Jesus when he called Peter, he says, I will change your name from Cephas to Peter, and Peter means the rock. We have religions today that claims Peter is the pope of that church, and that is not true. Peter is not the rock. That rock is Jesus Christ. That rock is Christ himself, and it's the same one that Moses talked about back in his day when he was singing that song unto the people of Israel. You see, Moses wanted to go into the promised land, and God said, no, you can't go. Well, why not? Because you disobeyed me. And we look at Moses' life and we say, how can that be? After all that Moses had gone through and the 40 years Moses had led the people in the wilderness, yet God was not going to let him allow him to cross the Jordan into the promised land. And if you recall the reason why, we find that when the people complained in the wilderness, God told Moses, take the elders of Israel and go to a certain rock and strike it with your rod, and water will come forth. So he did that. And they had water to drink, and God gave them manna for 40 years, helped them that their clothes did not wear out and their shoes did not wear out. Now, if we look at that today, how many of us would want to wear the same pair of shoes for 40 years? We would kind of go bonkers, huh? Maybe the ladies, they like different shoes. But anyhow, even the men wouldn't want to wear the same shoes, I don't think. And your clothes, the same clothes, never wear out. And we have some today that we maybe wear a long, long time before they wear out. But we find they do wear out. But God kept theirs, so that they were perfect those 40 years. And then we see that they were out of water again, and they complained, and Moses was angry with them, and he struck the rock with the rod instead of speaking to it like God had told him to do. God said, speak to the rock the second time, and it will bring water. And because of that time that Moses did not obey God, he could not enter the promised land. Now, in our scripture text, we see that Jesus is talking, and he's giving them a parable first. He's saying, we played for you, and you did not dance, or you did not sing. And he says, we mourned for you, and you did not lament or cry or mourn. And we find this in life today, that in life itself, that many times we don't look at it in a way that Christ would look at it. We know that Jesus was sent into the world, and that world is you and me. When God so loved the world, God so loved you, he so loved Irvin, that he sent Christ down from heaven for me. You are that world that God sent his son into. Not all these other people, yes, them too, but he's talking to you and you alone. That God sent his begotten son into the world for you. And he wants you to believe in him and to realize that he went to Calvary's cross for you and for me. And we find, too, that when we talk about repentance, what is repentance? Repentance is the asking because we are sorry for what we did. But in and of itself, Judas was sorry for what he did. Yet he did not seek God's repentance. He was sorry. Saul was sorry that he offered an offering to God before he waited for Samuel. He found that Samuel was delayed, so he went and did it. And when asked why, "Well, you were delayed and the people were getting anxious, so I did it." "Who told you to do it?" "Well, nobody. I thought I would do it myself." You see, so many people will take and make the world want to evolve around them. And we find that Paul was telling us then in the Romans that we are to have faith in God and God alone, and in that faith we would find that we have faith in Jesus Christ, that we would realize Christ came, that he gave himself for you and for me. That's the world he came into. And he did it, and if we accept him and repent of our sins, asking him to be our Lord and Savior, he will forgive us our sins, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have the original sin because of Adam and Eve. We have the daily sins that we do, that we have to come to him daily, asking him not only to cleanse us, but to keep us in his care, and to help us not to go the way and to do the things that we shouldn't do, but if we do them, that his Holy Spirit will guide us, will convict us, and help us to know the way in which we should walk. We find in the end times that there's going to be a lot of different toils, a lot of different troubles, and we see them in the world today. We find in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first 5 verses reads like this: "But know this, that in the last days the perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Also, they will be unloving, they'll be unforgiving, there'll be slanders, and without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." That's a strong statement for a Christian to realize. Am I looking so much at the things of life that they are taking over what my heart says, that I should love Jesus above all things? He has to have first place in my heart and in my life. And through that, we can ask and God will give. We can knock and God will open. We can seek and we will find the love and the service that God wants us to do for him, and to give us the joy, that our joy would be in abundance, because it's through Jesus Christ and not through ourselves. Then in verse 5 it says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying its power." And then Paul says, "From all of these things turn away." You see, we have many people that'll say, "I hope to get to heaven. I hope I am good enough." And they're putting everything on themselves. They're not looking to Jesus. They're not looking to eternity. They're looking at today's world, and they're looking at what's going on. And I had mentioned once before, I think that it was, I thought it was in Mexico, but I've been corrected. It happened in Phoenix, Arizona. On May 22nd, there was a covenant signed by many churches. And this church, this covenant, was put out mainly by the Vatican. And the Vatican says because the church started in Rome, which it didn't, we are the Mother Church. Because of this, every congregation or every denomination should acknowledge we are the Mother Church. The church started in Pentecost in Jerusalem. It spread, and Rome is taking a lot of credit for a lot of things, and a lot of them are good, but a lot of them aren't. And so in this covenant, these people have acknowledged that they can continue like they are, but they will acknowledge that the Vatican is the Mother Church of all religions in the world. Two names were given. There's been many names on it. Two names were given. One was Rick Warren, and he is Saddleback Church in California, and I think he has something like 25,000 people, members. And Joel Osteen has 40,000 members, and he's from Houston, Texas. They were two of the signers of that covenant. We have people in the world today that they want to look pious, and they want to look like they're serving God, but underneath, they're serving themselves and looking for what they can get or feel they can get out of it. We see that three tribes of, and I don't ask me how they know who the tribes are, but they said there is three tribes of the 12 tribes of Israel that is back in the Holy Land. Two of them are Judah and Benjamin. And I'm not sure of the third one. I thought it was Gad, but I could be wrong. But they said there's nine tribes left. Now, the test in the Revelation, it talks about 144,000 being sealed. Those are Jews. And there's 12,000 from each tribe. God knows who they are. And those people will be the ones that will be able to spread the kingdom or the voice of God throughout the world. And we find that happening more and more. The younger people, many of them, are accepting the Lord. A lot of the older ones are accepting the Lord too, because they know of what's going on, and they have accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. If we were to look in Revelation, and we can see a world ruler coming upon the earth, and we can see the wars and rumors of wars, and if you start studying the history on these things, they're coming together in the Middle East, and there will be a peace pact from, I believe, the PLO and Israel, and that peace pact will be for 7 years, and the first seal that John saw opened in heaven was the seal of someone coming on a white horse. He did not have any arrows, so he came peaceably. And they claim that there has been talk with the PLO and Israel on peace talks, and they have pretty well got it summed up. The leader of this is Pope Francis from the Vatican. He's leading that, and we'll have peace. The second, after that is signed, the second seal is opened, and it says, another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one that sat on the horse that he would take peace from the earth, and that people should kill, and another, and there would be given to him great power and a sword to do killing. So that's wars and rumors of wars. I have been told, and I was listening to a news broadcast, and they said Russia has on the ocean floor along the, I think it's along the North Korean coast up in there, submarines with nuclear warheads sitting on the ocean bottom that can be ignited from Moscow. No people are there, just warheads. And they said that one, if it released completely and worked the way it's supposed to, it would be like 200,000 tons of TNT. And a tidal wave would go clean across the Pacific Ocean and hit our country on the West Coast. Can you imagine what type of a tidal wave that would be? Pretty big, probably 500 feet high by the time it got here. It would do a lot of damage. You see, things are going on in the world today we don't know about. And when we hear them, we try and excuse them. Is our heart with Jesus? Are we letting Christ rule in our heart and the Holy Spirit lead us and teach us? You know, even in this world as a Christian, we can have peace which passes all understanding through all the trials and hardships. And it thrills my heart to know that God has given me that joy within me, that even though the world is turning upside down, it seems, I still have that peace. And I can say, Lord, I pray you help me to be your servant and to be able to understand the things going on, that as I understand them, I would be willing to tell others so that they too, if they don't have you as their personal Lord, would be willing to repent and to call upon your name and accept you as their personal Lord and Savior. And we find that too, so going on more and more. If we were to go into Revelation chapter 16, this is the last seven judgments that God pours out upon the world during the tribulation period. The first one, it talks about those that have received the mark of the beast. That mark of the beast is so you can buy and sell, so you can continue life as it is today. If you don't have that mark, you cannot buy, you cannot sell, and if you try it, you're an alien to the world. They feel, the thinkers in the think tank, I don't know what to call them, but they say that this world should not have over 4 to 5 billion people, and we should stop all people from being born after if you get that many. And today there's about close to 8 billion. And they say we can't afford it. We're going to see a war. I believe personally that we're going to see a skirmish, and maybe a little more than a skirmish, between some of the Arab countries and Israel. And then we're going to see the peace pact come in. And it will come in suddenly, and it'll come in fast. And Jesus says, beware. Woe to you if you don't have me as your personal Lord and Savior. And he says, you know, if you are called out of this world and you don't have Jesus, you don't have another chance. Your chance today, you're walking one of two roads. You're walking the road of Christ and the road of the world. If you walk the road of the world, you'll find that they are taking and throwing rocks and all kinds of bad words to you walking on the road that goes to heaven. And Jesus said, remember, they persecuted me, they will persecute you. So remember that and call upon the name of Jesus to not only save you, but to help you through the hard times of life. That he would not only give you the discernment of right and wrong, but that he would help you to live day by day serving him, and people would see him in you, that they would glorify him. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we look at some of these things in the end times, that we realize that when you pour your anger out, that it is not only loathsome sores that comes upon people, but that it'll be heat and it'll be so hot that people will curse you because they will not repent of their sin and they will not come to you. But Lord, you are pouring out upon people the sins that they have done against you and against your people. I pray your guiding hand on each one of us and keep us in your care, that we are not only discerning of the things coming on in life, but that we have you as our personal Lord, and you will give us the joy and the peace of our heart, and you will help us to live peaceably and joyfully in this world until you call us out. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 417.
Share.